Good to see you guys today. I have to admit, I'm glad to be inside, really. It'd be chilly. Would have been chilly. If you have a Bible, grab it, open it up to John chapter 20. John 20. If you don't have a Bible and you want to read along with us, raise your hand. The guys have Bibles. You can take that Bible home if you want to, or just drop it off on the way out. So keep your hand up. If you want a Bible, we'll get them to you. And once you have a Bible, open it up to John chapter 20. John 20. Starting in verse 1, John 20, verse 1. The first day of the week cometh Mary Magdalene early, when it was yet dark, unto the sepulchre, and seeing the stone taken away from the sepulchre, she ran and came to Simon Peter and to the other disciple, whom Jesus loved, and said unto them, They have taken away the Lord out of the sepulchre, and we know not where they have laid him. Peter therefore went forth, and that other disciple, and came to the sepulchre. And they ran both together, and the other disciple did outrun Peter, and came first. And he, stooping down and looking in, saw the linen clothes lying, yet went he not in. Then came Simon Peter, verse 6, following him, and went into the sepulchre and saw the linen clothes lie, and the napkin that was about his head, not lying with the linen clothes, but wrapped together in a place by itself. Then went in also that other disciple, which came first to the sepulchre, and he saw and believed. For as yet they knew not the scripture, that Jesus must rise again from the dead. Then the disciples went away again unto their own home. Then skipping forward to verse 19, John 20, verse 19. Then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut, where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, came Jesus and stood in the midst and said unto them, Peace be unto you. And when he had so said, he showed unto them his hands and his side. Then the disciples were glad when they saw the Lord. Then said Jesus to them again, Peace be unto you. Father, we pause again to acknowledge, Lord, that you're here in our midst. Where two or more are gathered, Lord, you promise us with your presence. So this morning, Lord, we ask that you would be speaking to hearts, that you would be calming fears, that you would be the bringer of peace. Bless this time. In Jesus' name, amen. Have you ever had an event you're looking forward to? A time that was special to you. A vacation. A moment where you said, I can't wait until, because, man, that's going to give me rest. That's going to give me peace. That's going to relax me. Have you looked forward to an event like that? I know I have. It was my last year in college. The toughest semester I ever had. Coming up on Christmas break. Finals week were finished. And there's only one thing that I wanted to do. I wanted to go to Mount Bachelor and go snowboarding. Enjoy the solitude that you have as you go through the trees and the quietness of your board on the snow. Oh, I was so looking forward to that. Peace, rest, relaxation, enjoyment. So after finals week, I loaded up in my Toyota truck, drove down here to Grants Pass, went over to my brother's house, got together with my little brother and my best friend Neil, and we started to make plans to go up to Mount Bachelor. And we decided, let's go tomorrow. No use waiting. Let's go tomorrow. And so as we were planning, we looked at my Toyota truck. Single cab, three of us in it for 4 hours. Not that comfortable, but no problem. I can deal with that for an enjoyable day in the snow. No problem. I need the peace. I need the relaxation. If I don't have it, I'm going to go insane. And so we kept planning. And while we were talking, up came one of my little brother's friends. His name is Dusty. We called him Krusty the Clown. Kind of a big, kind of goofy guy. He pulls up, and he drove one of those classic automobiles. You know the ones when they made them out of iron? When they made the back seat so big, if you needed to carry half a cow, it was no problem. When just by starting it up in today's economy, it would cost you $4.65. One of those vehicles. And so he pulls up in that, comes bebopping in. What are you guys doing? And we told him we're going snowboarding tomorrow morning. Oh, man, I want to go with you. Can I go? Well, the three of us looked out the window at his Titanic or my Toyota. We said, Dusty, sure you can go if you drive. Well, I don't have any money. I don't have any money for a lift ticket. I don't have any money for gas. No problem. We'll fill your tank, and we'll loan you the $40 for a lift ticket if you drive. Okay, I'll do it. All right, see you at 4:30. Be here. 4:30 a.m., he was there. We loaded up. It was great. Restful, peaceful. I was napping in the back. It was wonderful. I didn't have to drive. It was great until we got to Mount Bachelor. Because technically there was snow there, yes, but the problem was it was raining. It was downpour raining. When we pulled up to the mountain, people were fleeing the mountain like ants out of a fire. Just, we're out of here. Freezing cold. Well, I'm the eternal optimist. I said, awesome. We can get a ticket for like $10 from these people. Their misery is our gain. So I hopped out. And I went up to the first guy I could find. I said, can I buy your lift ticket off you? And as we were negotiating there, out came a security guy. And he informed me that what I was doing was illegal. And if I continued on this business venture, I'd be arrested. So I said, no problem. I just thought, you know, six of one, half dozen of the other, no sweat, you know. I'm fine. So we got back together, and I said, well, we'll just, you know, wait it out and see if it stops raining. Well, right about then, Dusty decided, the guy that we filled his tank, the guy that we fed his belly, the guy that we lent $40 to, decided, I'm going home. What? I'm going home. I said, Dusty, there's three of us here, or four of us. There's four of us here. You can't make that decision on your own. Yeah, you drove, but you can't make that decision on your own. We're not going to leave. And he said, fine, I'm leaving. I said, Dusty, you're not leaving. He said, yes, I am. I said, Dusty, you're not leaving. He said, yes, I am. If you want to go, get in. I said, Dusty, you're not leaving. Went over, popped his hood. And guys, you know there's a wire, one single wire. It connects from the coil to the distributor. Without that wire, his car is going nowhere, better than a key. So I popped the hood, climbed up on the bumper, huge, you know, massive trunk or massive hood. So my little brother and Neil are in the back. The trunk is open. I'm inside kind of climbing around the engine trying to find this one wire. When Dusty pulled the quickest move I've ever seen him make, like lightning, he got in the car, starts it up, puts it in gear, and we're going through the Mount Bachelor parking lot. Me, inside of the hood, hood's up, trunk's open, both doors are open. I'm yelling at him. Dusty, you need to stop this vehicle. Dusty, what are you doing? He's not stopping. So then I just started pulling spark plug wires. Boom, one. Boom, two. Got to the third spark plug wire on that one side of that motor. Boom, and this car just started lurching and backfiring. And my face is getting very close to this fan, you know. I'm seeing my life flash in front of my eyes. I'm yelling at him. Women and children are screaming and running away from this thing. It's blowing out smoke. It was a nightmare. Dusty, he's not stopping. He keeps going. Bang, boom. So for my own safety, I just jumped off the side of the vehicle, and he went on down the road. And there I was. I turned around. I had 150 people staring at me. I felt like a hamburger at a PETA convention. What in the Sanhedrin is this guy? So my dream of peace, my dream of relaxation, my dream of rest, well, it very quickly turned into a nightmare where for the next 18 hours, the three of us hitchhiked from the top of Mount Bachelor back to Grants Pass. You ever had an experience like that? Probably not exactly like that. But we've all had events. We've all had things we've looked forward to and said, that's going to bring us peace. That's going to be what we want. And they end up being a nightmare. Well, that's exactly what took place in our text. See, in our story here, in the Gospel of John, if you reverse just a couple days, the disciples were with Jesus, and they were looking forward to an event called the Passover Feast. It might be similar to our Christmas. It's a celebration, a good time, a time of fellowship, a time of enjoyment. And they were so looking forward to this time, just getting that away, having a good night with Jesus, with our 11 good friends. And so they got together that night, and they were feasting, they were enjoying it, and it looked like it was going to be great, but all of a sudden, things begin to change. All of a sudden, instead of peace and relaxation, a guy gets up, one of the 12 hand-picked disciples of Jesus Christ, gets up in the middle of dinner to go betray Jesus. Judas, what are you doing? This is supposed to be a fun night. What are you going to do? You're going to go betray? No. We've been with him for 3.5 years. You've listened to him. You've been taught by him. You're going to go do what? Betray him? No. Oh, now they're 11. This isn't good. This dinner that we were looking forward to, this time of peace and relaxation, this isn't good. And then Jesus says, let's get out of here. Let's go over to this garden. Good idea, Jesus. The garden that they had been at many times, the Garden of Gethsemane. We've had peace there. We've had rest there. It's a good escape. Let's go. And so they went to the garden. And they're in the garden. They're enjoying it. They're kicking back. Yeah, this is peaceful. When all of a sudden that peaceful event was shattered. Torches, yells, swords, spears, soldiers led by Judas. And they come. What are you doing, Judas? What's this mob for? We're taking Jesus. No, Peter said, you're not going to take Jesus. And pulls out his sword and hacks off an ear. This is a nightmare. You can't take Jesus. Do something. Do a miracle. Call down angels. Do something. But he didn't. He didn't call down angels. He didn't try to escape. In fact, he let them bind him and took him away. And these 11, instead of standing up, instead of being courageous, instead of fighting for their friend, they ended up fleeing and hiding all night. Instead of being brave, they departed and hid all night. This has got to end, they thought. This is just a bad dream. I'm going to wake up tomorrow morning and it'll just be a bad dream. But they woke up the next morning. And like a bad dream, it just got worse. Jesus didn't do a miracle. Jesus didn't try to escape. And at his trials, they thought, they'll learn in the trial. Jesus helped people. Jesus healed people. Jesus loved people. That'll come out at his trial. They'll let him go. But instead, there were people that lied. There were false accusations. And the disciples couldn't believe it. Because he was being condemned to death. Instead of being freed, he was being condemned to die on the cross. No, they must have thought. I should have spoken up. I should have said something at his trial. I should have been a witness for him, but I'm just too scared, too afraid. And once again, they fled away. Instead of fighting, they departed, they left. It's supposed to be such a peaceful night, and we can't believe what this is turning into. Our master is being condemned to death, to the cross. No. How is this possible? He'll do something on the cross. He won't die. He's God. He can't die, can he? He won't die. That would be impossible, right? But 6 hours later, he was dead. Dead. Jesus? Dead? No. Impossible. What a nightmare. We can't believe this. And so for the next 3 days, they would hide. The next 3 days, the Bible tells us in verse 19, they were behind locked doors. They were afraid. They wouldn't come out. And then they start hearing these rumors. Some ladies said, 3 days later, some ladies said that the tomb is empty. The stone has been rolled away. Peter and John, they went there. Some of his closest friends, they looked in the tomb, and it's true, the grave clothes are there, but the body is gone. It seems to be true. He's gone. Is he alive? They must have wondered. Could it be true? He said he was going to rise again. Could it be true? Is he alive? They must have thought. Is he alive? They must have thought. But then they must have also thought, if he's alive. If he's alive, he's going to be angry with us. We told him we would stand up for him. We told him that we would die with him. We told him that we'd always be there for him. And we weren't. We failed. We denied. We told people, we don't know Jesus. You got me mixed up with someone else. Instead of fighting, we took off. We left him all by himself. If he is alive, he's going to be mad. He's going to be mad at us for our failing. He's going to punish us for our mistake. He's going to be angry with us. They must have thought, oh no, if he is alive, this is bad news. And then it says in the Gospel of John, that same day, verse 19, Jesus appeared to him. There he is, these disciples must have thought. It's true, he is alive, they must have realized. It's true. He came out of the grave. He proved he's God. He said he could do it, and we thought he could, but now he's proved that he's God Almighty because he came out of the grave. Other people have claimed to do it. Jim Morrison, the lead singer of The Doors, when he died, he said, I'm coming back. He said, cancel my subscription to the resurrection. Cancel it, because you know what? I'm going to resurrect myself. That's what he believed. And every year, on his anniversary, the day he died, people set up a vigil there at his graveside. But you know what? Look inside that tomb. Jim Morrison's still there. Houdini, the great escape artist, claimed, death cannot hold me. I've escaped from everything so far, and I'm going to escape from death itself. And so they put a phone in his casket. It's true. So if he woke up, resuscitated, he could call him, hey, by the way, can you dig me out? Well, after about a year, they canceled the phone line. Sorry, Jimmy. Or sorry, Houdini. People have claimed we'll come back. But only one has. Only Jesus did. And they would know as he appeared there in front of them, locked doors all around him. He's God. He's God. He's the only one that's ever done it. He's God, they must have said. But then they must have thought, uh-oh, he's God. Oh, no. Oh no, he's God. And if he's God, he knows my heart. He knows what I've been doing these last 3 days. He knows what I was thinking when he was on the cross. He knows the doubts that have plagued me. He knows that I refused to stand up for him. He knows that I rejected when people asked me about him. He knows he's going to be mad when he appeared to them. He's going to yell at me. He's going to punish me. I deserve it. He's going to curse me to hell because I've earned it. That's what I deserve. That's what I've done these last 3 days. Oh, he's going to be so angry and mad at me, these disciples would have thought, because I've blown it, because I wasn't there for him, because I denied him. He's going to be mad. And then Jesus spoke up. Jesus spoke up, and what does he say? The first words he says, according to the Gospel of John, to this group, to these disciples, the first word he comes to them with is this: peace, peace be unto you. Your souls are under anguish. Your hearts are breaking. Peace be unto you. Peace. That would be like cool water to a thirsty soul. You're not mad at us, Lord. You're not going to yell at us. You're not going to condemn us. You're telling us peace. That's too good to be true, so he has to repeat it a second time. No, peace be unto you. Peace. I'm here not to punish you. I'm here not to condemn you. I'm here not to send you to hell. I'm here to give you peace. Peace be unto you. That's what I want to give you. And John, the writer of this gospel, would remember the night of his betrayal. There in the garden, he said that to us. He said in John 14:27, "My peace I give to you, not like the world, not like life is going to give you, but it's a lasting, eternal peace." That's what I want to give you. John would remember that. That's right. He wants to give us peace, a peace that we haven't found anywhere else. A peace that has been promised but never fulfilled in this world. Have you sought for peace for your soul? Have you sought for peace in this world and not found it? Sought for peace in the United Nations. That's their charter. They want to be all about peace. Well, in the 60 years that the United Nations has been an organization, those 60 years have been the bloodiest in human history. More people have died, more wars have been fought. If you're searching for peace through the United Nations, you're not going to find it. Other people will say, if I could just get that job, if I could just restart my career, that'll bring me peace. I'll have security, I'll have peace in that job. Medical benefits, that's going to do it if I had that job. I was reading a study recently. 65%, two-thirds of those interviewed, said they are more concerned with the security of their job this year than they were last year. Outsourcing, economic trouble, oil prices. I thought peace would be this job, but now that I've got the job, I'm afraid it's going to be canceled, outsourced. Some people think, if I could just get married, if I could just marry him or marry her, if I could just get married, that's going to bring me peace. That's what my heart longs for. That's why I'm anxious. That's why I'm stressed. If I could just get married, then I'd be at peace. It's like one guy told me right before I got married. He said, "Matt, I never knew peace until I got married. And then it was too late." It's true. You think they're going to bring you peace. You think that's going to do it, but you end up, well, like one guy said, marriage is like a merry-go-round without the merry. You just go rounds. It's going to be this. It's going to be a job. It's going to be marriage. It's going to be the United Nations. It's going to be a vacation to Bend. That's what's going to bring me peace. We've all sought for peace in those ways, in those areas, and we found them wanting. They haven't satisfied. They haven't stilled our souls. There's still anxiety and stress within us. Jesus came to these disciples with hearts that were breaking, with anxiety. And Jesus came to him and he says, "Peace, peace be unto you." Jesus is the only one that can give us peace. The book of Isaiah says that Jesus is the Prince of Peace. He's the only one that can provide you the peace and stillness in your heart that you long for. He's the only one. There's no one else. Did you know if you have not believed in Jesus Christ, if you have not accepted his work for you, that you are at war? That's what Romans chapter 5, verse 1 says. It says, if you have not believed in Jesus, not accepted what he's done for you, it says there in Romans chapter 5, verse 1, that you're at war with God. You're at war with your Maker. But it goes on to say in there that if you will believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, you will have peace with God. He'll give you peace with your Maker. That's the peace that Jesus wants to give you. No longer a gap between you and God. No longer a debt you owe to him, but peace. You can have peace with God. Jesus says, I'll give you that peace. You can have peace with your past. So many of us are in turmoil over things that we did in our past. The abortion I had as a teenager. Losing my virginity, lying, stealing, drug abuse, whatever it is, you fill in the gap. I'm so worried about that, past sin. It troubles my soul. It breaks my heart. Why did I do that? Jesus says, I'll give you peace with your past. He would say, all manner of sin is forgiven. All manner. There's no sin too big. There's no sin too small. All manner of sin can be forgiven you. If you accept what he did for you on the cross, you can be forgiven of your past. You can have peace with your past. You can have peace with God. You can have peace. You can have peace about your eternity. We're all going to die. Ask yourself, what's going to happen to me when I die? Where am I going to go? I know I'm not like Houdini. I know I'm not going to escape the grave. What's going to happen to me? Jesus says over and over in this Gospel of John, he says, if you believe in me, if you believe in me, I will give you eternal life. If you believe in me, he says, you will never die. You're just going to move on to heaven. If you believe in me, I'm going to give you age-abiding life. He promises that. Peace about your eternity. Well, what gives him the right to secure my eternity? What gives him the right to secure your eternity? What gives him that right? He's God. And he proved it by coming out of the grave. He proved the power of his words when he resurrected. 3 days, he said. Like Jonah was in the belly of the whale for 3 days. So I'm going to be in the grave for 3 days. But after that, I'm going to be resurrected. He proved it. He proved the power of his words because he rose again. He's the only one that can secure your eternity. Anything else you trust in, Omen, Buddhism, Buddha's still in the grave. No one else can say what Jesus says. I'll give you eternal life. I'll secure your eternity. And he proved it by rising again. And he would say, all who come to me, none of them I'm going to cast out. Anyone who is willing to come to me, Jesus says, I'm not going to cast him out. And then he goes on to say, once you come to me, you're in my hand, and no one is able to snatch you out. Not only are you in my hand, but Jesus goes on to say, you're in the Father's hand. You're double covered by Jesus Christ. He will give you peace about your eternity. You will spend it in heaven with him. Peace with God, your Maker. Peace with your past, whatever mistake is pulling you backwards, anchoring you to the garbage. He'll give you peace with your past. He'll forgive you of all your sins. He'll give you peace. He'll give you peace about where you'll spend eternity. He'll give it to you. But Matt, peace like that's got to cost something. He's just going to give it to me? He's just going to give me peace. That peace isn't cheap. How can he just give it to me? You're right, that peace is not cheap. That peace cost him everything. Cost him his life. Cost him his blood. Beaten on the head. Hung on a wooden cross. It cost him everything to be able to say to you this morning, to be able to say to you this morning, my peace I give unto you. It cost him everything. It wasn't cheap, but it's free. It's free to you. That's what the Bible says. In Romans chapter 10, verse 9, it says this, if you want to be saved, very simple. It says, confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, and you shall be saved. Not, you might be saved if you're really good. Not, if you do these certain things or keep these certain rules, then you'll be saved. It says you shall be saved. He's the only one that can bring you peace. He's the only one that proved he's able to give you that peace by his resurrection. And he's saying to you, to hearts that have never opened up to him, he's saying to you, I want to give you peace this morning. I want to give you peace about your past. I want to give you peace with God. I want to give you peace about your eternity. I'm offering it to you for free, but you have to accept it. Like any gift. Like any gift, you have to receive it. You have to take it. It's there. It's available for anyone, for everyone, but like any gift, you have to receive it. You have to say, I'll take that. I'll receive that, Lord. I'll take your peace. Well, Matt, you know, I like what you said. But to be quite honest, I'm going to wait a little while. And I'm going to think about it for a day or for a week or for a month. Tomorrow I'll make the decision. Well, you know what? Tomorrow never comes. There's always a tomorrow. The Bible says this, today is the day of salvation. Today is, not tomorrow. Today is your day of salvation. I don't know what's going to happen to you tomorrow. The Bible says life is like a vapor. It appears a short time and then it disappears. You never know when your time is. There may not be a tomorrow for you. God is offering you, Jesus is saying to you this morning, you can have salvation. You can have peace. You can have forgiveness of sins. He's offering it to you this morning, right now. I don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. In addition to that, the Bible makes it clear that every man and every woman is given a chance to believe. We're given opportunities to accept Jesus Christ. A stirring in your heart, even as is happening right now. Rapid heartbeat, a feeling that this is my time. But you say no. No. God says, okay. And he comes back and you have the same stirring in your heart. You have the same feeling. He's talking to me. This is for me. But you say no again. You say no. You say no. You say no. And eventually, you know what? God says, okay. All right. You've said no to me enough times that I'm going to leave you alone. You said no to me time and time again. I've given you opportunity after opportunity, but now over my dead body, I'm going to let you say no. The book of Matthew chapter 25 makes that clear. Two groups there in Matthew 25. One group stayed. They were by the door waiting for the Lord. They were right there. They were ready. We want to come in. And the Lord came back and opened the door, and they came in, they celebrated eternity together. But there was another group there for a little while. And then it says they went back to town. They were there for a little while, but then they turned back and went back to town. Well, you know, we got time. We're going to go back to town for a little while, and we'll come back when we're ready. We'll come back when we've got what we need. And so they did that. They went back to town for another round. We like town a little bit better. Well, when they were gone, the Lord came back. Let those five in. The other five here, he came back. Oh, no. Oh, no. So they get together and they run back out there and they knock on the door. Knock, 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 knock. Let us in. Let us in. And it says the Lord came to the door there. Matthew 25, verse 12. And he looked at him and he says, I don't know you guys. I don't know you. You can't come in. You had your chance. You were at the door. But you decided no. You decided, I'll wait for another time. You decided, oh, there'll be another chance. Well, there wasn't for them. God has you here. God is stirring your heart this morning because this is the day of salvation for you. This is your moment to receive Jesus Christ, to have peace with your past, to have peace with God, to have peace through eternity. This is your chance. If that's you, if your heart has been hit, I want you to stand up. And I want you to come up here and stand. And we're going to pray for you. And you're going to receive the Prince of Peace. You're going to receive salvation this morning. This is your chance. God has you here for a reason. God is working on your heart because he says, I love you and I want to give you peace. Your heart has been troubled so long. Your heart has been beating and sorrowful. I want to take that all away and replace it with a peace. Now is your chance. Stand up. Don't wait till tomorrow. I can't guarantee there'll be a tomorrow for you. The people that invited you, the folks that have been praying for you, it's for such a time as this, so that you would be able to receive Jesus Christ and know that your eternity is secure. That you would know, praise the Lord. You can wait right down here if you want. I'll give a couple more opportunities. You can come right here if you want. I know there are others in here. Don't let this opportunity go by. Praise the Lord. The Prince of Peace is here, and he wants to bring peace to your life. Stand up and receive that peace. It's given to you. It's a free gift. You'll have peace with every sin that you've ever committed. You'll be cleansed and clean from any past problem that you've had. It's available for you this morning. Take this opportunity. Take the opportunity to allow the Prince of Peace to work in your heart, to change your life. There's still others. You know it. God's knocked on your heart before. Other services, other people, other times. Don't refuse him this time. Acknowledge it. Receive it. And watch and see your life changed. Stand up. Make the best decision you can ever make. A peace that's going to be with you from now through eternity. This is your last chance in this service. Father, I thank you for your work in these hearts this day. And Lord, you, the Prince of Peace, have come and offered peace to these souls that have been troubled. We thank you so much for the work that you did for us on the cross, Lord, in dying for our sins and cleansing us from unrighteousness. We thank you that you proved beyond any doubt that you are able to secure our peace because of the resurrection. And I pray for these here that have accepted your Son, Lord. I pray that they would be sealed and kept by your Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm going to ask for leadership to stand up and for a leadership to grab one of these guys each, pray with them, and the rest of you are dismissed. God bless you.